Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open the Word to study today, honor Thy Word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save souls, bless hearts, revive the indifferent, and strengthen believers today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For several weeks, we've been studying the grace of God. Last week, we studied in the Gospel of John various verses in the first chapters of John concerning salvation. As I said, last week we read and studied several verses in the first chapters of the Gospel of John. Now, when I left the radio on the last broadcast in the series on the grace of God, we read about the woman of Samaria in John 4. Today, I'd like to read another very interesting account of a conversion. In fact, an entire family were saved. And what could be finer than to get a whole family saved and born into the kingdom of God? Now, in John 4:46, so Jesus came again to Galilee, where he made the water wine. Now, this is the place where he performed his first miracle. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, all unbelievers are sick. They have a much more deadly disease than cancer. We hear an awful lot about cancer today. We hear an awful lot about other dreaded diseases. But sin is the most deadly of all. Of course, sin is much more than a disease. Sin and death are synonymous. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, this nobleman had a boy that was sick. Next verse, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, I could spend two or three broadcasts right there, and I could go back in the Old Testament and begin and bring you right on up to John chapter 4 and show you time and again how God used individuals, and on one occasion, he used a donkey, and of course, in the case of Peter, he used a rooster to remind people that God is God and the Word of God is powerful. Now, here's what I mean. This Capernaum, this man at Capernaum would have not known, he certainly could have not known, that Jesus was in the area if the news had not traveled through individuals. Of course, they didn't have radio, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have the ways, that is, telephone, telegraph, they didn't have that in that day. And so I suppose a runner or maybe a merchant, someone traveling, I don't know how, but the man in Capernaum heard that Jesus had come into Cana of Galilee where he had performed the miracle of changing the water into wine. And that's something else. Somebody told him about that. Well, now, Brother Green, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to get across to you at Christmas time. I repeat what I've said so many, many times on the radio. There is not a verse of Scripture anywhere in the 66 books of the Bible that even suggests that Jesus was born December the 25th. We do not know when he was born. But I mean, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether Jesus was born December the 25th or January the 25th or November the 25th or September the 25th or April the 25th. It doesn't matter. The thing that matters, he was born. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Even though we do not know that he was born December the 25th, I don't know that there is anything wrong with Christians remembering at a certain season in the year that Jesus was born. But I tell you what is wrong. Will you listen to me? I'll tell you what's wrong. It is wrong to spend your time with things and your time with entertainment and not go out and win souls and try to get people saved. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to your family and to your friends. And there's nothing wrong with having the Christmas spirit, that is, to be happy and jolly and all of that, but while we remember the birthday of Jesus Christ, we certainly should do everything in our power to point men and women, boys and girls, to the Lamb of God who died that men might be saved. Jesus was born, and he was born not that we might remember Christmas, but he was born to lay his life down that men might be saved. Now, we are saved by God's grace. God's grace becomes ours by faith, and faith becomes ours by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's the only way that any man can ever exercise faith in the saving grace of God, is by hearing the Word of the living God. When he heard, this is verse 47, in John 4:47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he heard. Now let me tell you something. You can use the gospel hour tracts. There are many, many other wonderful Christmas tracts. There are many other organizations that mail out and give out many good Christmas tracts and other tracts. There are booklets. There are many, many ways. You can use your telephone, call up people, invite them to hear this gospel program, invite them to hear other good sound gospel programs. You can give men and women, young men and young women, as they come to your door to deliver groceries, the paper, or a telegram, or many other things, you can give them a tract. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to the post office to mail your packages, you can give tracts to the people who are in line. In other words, beloved, there are so many, many, many ways that we can advertise the wonderful gift of God's salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood and the finished work of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, this man had a need. Every man has a need, especially the unsaved. And if we let them hear, if we give them the good news, if we tell them that Jesus is born, he did live, he died, he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of the Majesty to make intercession, to save the sinner, and to make intercession for the believer. So when he heard that Jesus was come, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, when this man heard that Jesus had come again into the locality nearby, it was several miles, but this man went to the place where Jesus was, and he made his request known unto Jesus. Now, let me say this. When you give out gospel tracts, or when you mail booklets to people, you should be very, very careful what you mail. You should be sure that the tract you mail, the book you mail, the literature that you mail to an individual in whom you are interested, a person you want to be saved, you should be sure that the literature gives the right instruction concerning how to be saved. Now, this man went down to Jesus, made his request known, and then Jesus said to this man, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, I want you to see this thing, because this to me is a magnificent picture of faith exercised in the saving grace of God. And this man, of course, is saved. His boy is healed, and his whole family turns to God. All right. So the man said, come down to my house, and Jesus, if you do not come, my boy will surely die. But Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. In other words, Jesus said to the nobleman, unless I perform some gigantic, earth-shaking miracle, you won't believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. The nobleman said to Jesus, if you'll come down, my child won't die. But if you do not come down to my house, my child will die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now watch it. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. We have three words, thy son liveth, six words. Jesus uttered six simple words, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, here is where the man exercised the kind of faith that saves the soul. Now, what do I mean when I say the kind of faith that saves the soul? Beloved, you may have head faith or head belief or head knowledge I mean by that. You believe that Jesus is. You believe that such a person as Jesus lived. You may believe that such a person as Jesus died. You may even believe that he rose again, but in the head. You say, I believe everything in the Bible. You may believe it with your head, but when you believe everything in the Bible from your heart, then you will become a born-again, blood-washed child of God that instant. Now the Bible tells us the man believed. The man believed. The Word. Notice. The Word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, he did not go home because it stands to reason the few miles that separated Capernaum from Cana of Galilee. If the man had gone home that day, the Bible would not say in the very next verses that yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Now, the man, when he did go home, and it was the next day, he asked his servants what time the boy began to get well, and they said yesterday, the seventh hour. So this man went his way. Now, here is what I believe. The man had been, no doubt, so grieved and so broken and so crushed over his sick boy. I don't know how old the boy was. Somehow, I think he was a little fellow. I mean, in his early years. Now, of course, I can't prove that. Doesn't make any difference. But it seems that somehow, to me, I believe this was a little boy, maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 7 or 8 or 10 years old. I don't know. But this nobleman was so sick, that he was so weary and tired and worn out, that he went to an inn. And no doubt he acquired a room, took a good bath, went to bed, and slept. And then he went right back out where Jesus was teaching. And no doubt, listened to Jesus that afternoon, that night, then the next day, he went home. Now, the reason I say that, there was no point in this man rushing home. Jesus said, your son is well, your son lives. The man said, my boy's dying, and if you don't go to my house, my boy will die. If you do not go to my house, Jesus, my son is as good as dead. Jesus said, thy son liveth. Go thy way, Jesus didn't say, go home, thy way. Man went somewhere, but we know that he didn't go home because go today. The servant said, yesterday thy son began to amend at the seventh hour. So the father knew that it was the same hour. The same hour. Now here's what I want you to see, and if I can get this across to you, someone will be saved today. That man looked Jesus in the face and said, come down to my house ere my child die. In other words, if you do not hurry to my house, my boy will be dead. Jesus said, go thy way, your boy lives. Your boy is well. Your boy is healed. And the man believed the words Jesus spoke. The man believed the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, here's what I want you to see. This man believed that his son was well the minute Jesus said it. Now, man, if you want to get out of hell and go to heaven, if you want to stay out of the lake of fire, if you want to escape torment and damnation, there is only one way for you to escape the damnation of hell, and that is by hearing and believing and trusting the words of Jesus. Now, you can't see Jesus. He's in heaven. You can't feel Jesus with your hands. He's in heaven. How do we know he's in heaven? There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 1, when Jesus had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. Now listen to me. We know there is a man, the man Christ Jesus, in heaven. See the right hand of the Father, as the Bible tells us. Now, hear these words of faith. All right. Jesus, he that heareth and that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Now the words of Jesus are these. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Believe on me. Trust me. receive me. As many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the authority, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, if you'll hear the word and believe the word as the nobleman believed the words of Jesus, God will save you this instant right now. Believe on Jesus today. You can't lose if you'll trust right now. For the preciousness, and save every soul that's under conviction. Save every soul that's calling upon you now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, honor, and glory. Amen.